Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 5, 1. I've been telling you we're going to get there, and we finally got there.
Glory.
God is good.
All the time. Oh,
yes.
All the time.
Remember a few weeks ago I preached on receiving the prophet, receiving the prophecies and all that? Uh-huh. I have had more feedback about that word from people who were watching online. Sending in messages and saying that it changed them, it helped them. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for leading the way.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter 5, 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, I whom am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, as you know, in this season, we are centering up on you having good health, good relationships, and lots of prosperity. And we absolutely know that that's God's will. We know it's God's way. And so in order to move forward in that, we have to break some chokeholds sometimes. Mm-hmm. Psalm 78:41 said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, what we know about that is that Israel, this is the Psalms, a psalmist quoting, talking about how Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they limited God. He could have done so much more. They limited when they needed to move into the promised land, they were like, oh no, we can't do it. So there's a whole point to that, right? It's not about them doing it.
Yeah.
It's about them doing what that other scripture said, submitting to God. And so, they wouldn't take him at his word and so they didn't enter. Now the King James, it's interesting because in the King James, that's the only place the word limit. So to me, it's a big scripture. It's important. If people are limiting God, they're going to be limited. And so you limit God when you don't or you can't believe him or you don't believe his promises. And listen, Abraham had struggles. Until he got three revelations, he struggled. When he got a word from God and he got his promise, when God made a covenant with him, and by the way, God swore by himself, and Abraham just had to believe, and then God introduced himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, or the English would say, God Almighty, okay? So when Abraham got those three things, when he got the promises, he got the word of the Lord, when he understood covenant, and when he began to get a revelation of El Shaddai, he knew him as Elohim, creator.
Yeah.
But he found out that creator could also change creation for the ones he loves.
Oh, yeah.
And that's who God Almighty is. And so when you begin to put those things together, life can begin to change. Well, so it's the same for us. We submit to the promises. We understand the covenant. And we need a revelation of God Almighty. Now notice the word Almighty, because the verses earlier said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And so there's that word mighty. The best way to say it would be this. Place yourself under the resourceful strength of God. Place yourself under the resourceful strength. The Greek word for mighty is powerful. But when you add hand to it, that's resource. When someone has, particularly God, one of his hands is about prospering. Amen. So now humble means a lot of things to a lot of people. It doesn't mean weak and it doesn't mean to give up. To humble yourself doesn't mean you put yourself down. It means you lift someone else up. So let's just look at that just for a moment so that we understand, so we can actually apply 1 Peter to our lives as we're going along here. So we'll look at a healthy attitude of humility. Now, there's a false humility and there's a true humility. False humility, like I was just saying, it's often seen in self-abasement or self-criticism or self-condemnation. Well, notice the word self there. It's in every one of them. Yeah. Did you get that? Self this, self that, self that. So in these phrases, that should give us a clue of what kind of humility is counterfeit. And it's about self. And it's the most dangerous form of pride. Because it is thought as a spiritual value. I'm going to be so humble. I'm so, oh no, not me, but the Lord. I'm just, praise the Lord. You know, you're putting on this false humility. I say it like that, but you get the attitude behind that. And so it is the most dangerous of all forms of pride, because it gives permission to stay. It gets permission to stay because people guard it and protect it because they think it's godly. They think, well, if I behave like this, then I'm being godly. That's not really the truth. Jesus taught us this. He taught us to love our neighbors as what? As ourself. So this is a challenge for those embracing the selfish lifestyle, the selfless lifestyle like Jesus, because it seems like a contradiction, but it's really not. You feel like you're struggling a little bit because it's saying, well, you know, I need to love my neighbor like I love myself. But, you know, there's just that struggle there about that. But there really shouldn't be a struggle there. And it's one of those paradoxes of the scripture that really this stuff is essential for our well-being. We need to love ourselves. And we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to deal with this simultaneously. I love me and I love you. Right. But if I don't love me, it's going to be very hard for me to love you. Yeah. So to love ourselves as Jesus described doesn't lead to self-centeredness or selfishness. It's what actually keeps us healthy. So Jesus actually taught this as the great second commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? Amen. We know this. Those two commandments are the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rolled into two, right? Yeah. Now, you remember we talked about putting your oxygen mask on before you help others?
Right.
Are you going down?
Yeah.
And you're not going to help anybody. So you gotta get right. You gotta help yourself. When I say get right, I mean you need to have some self-respect.
Get right.
You need to know that God loves you. And here it is. You love yourself. You're good to yourself so you can love someone else. But then we could flip this coin. And the word said, let another man praise you and not your mouth. That's written in the scriptures. So self-promotion is not a good way to live. That's the other side of the coin. Praising oneself is a disgusting practice, unless it's a 3-year-old, and then we kind of think that's cute. But, everybody loathes it. Nobody cares a thing about it. So maturity means that we pull away from seeing the world rotating around us.
Yeah.
Come on. We pull away from that and we begin to get mature and we begin to position ourselves for what's best for the world.
Right.
What's best for the world? What's best for your family? What's best for people around you? And I think we get that verse, and most of us are not comfortable with praising ourselves. Even if it comes to mind and we think, wow, I did that good. You know, we still don't, hey, look at me. You know why? Because we have some social skills. Mm-hmm. And we realize that if we do that, everybody's going to go, yeah, you know, they're not going to think that much of us if we start going, look who I am. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And so I think most of us are free from that. But if you have the attitude of I'm the hero, you might want to dismantle that. You know, if you're a good person, we won't need you to tell us.
Right.
Did you get that? If you're a good person, we won't need you to tell us. Well, you won't have to say, I'm good now. I'm better. We won't need you to tell us. We'll know. Yeah. What did Shakespeare say? Me thanks. Thou protest too much. Yeah. Right? You go overboard. Yeah, I really am good. Well, that means you probably people doing that don't really feel that good about themselves. That's an interesting thing about pride. It'll boast when deep down inside that person doesn't really feel all that good about themselves. Isn't that right? Don't you sense that? So, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Okay. So I humble myself. So we get it, don't we? We know we don't flip the coin over and be the bragger and all that stuff. But we also know that we don't debase ourselves. Those are the points I'm trying to make. So I'll humble myself when I quit trying to be the God of my life. I come up under his resourceful strength. Now this is what, we need to get to that. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. You humble by casting care. That's how you do it. That's how you humble yourself, by casting care. You can cast care because you know he cares. Y'all see that? So, church, look. Every one of us here and listening online, every one of us are viewing God from a different perspective. We all have different filters. Mm-hmm. Perception is so important. It just takes a small element of perception to end up in a totally different place. And so I'm just going to tell you right now that what'll help you more than anything else, you must receive that God loves you. You have to receive that. That's what you need to know. You may need to go around saying it to yourself for a while. God loves me. God loves me. Yeah, God loves me. In fact, people have gotten healed saying that. Some people get so weak and they're so down and just about going to heaven. And I've heard record of people starting to say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And they're barely whispering it out. And then it pretty soon it's Jesus loves me. Jesus, I'm healed. And they'll just by realizing how much that God loves them. So the way that we're going to be able to do all of this, to get ourselves in a place of humility, to get ourselves in the place of where we can cast every care on him, is simply by getting the right perception of God, because he loves us. And each of us, you know, we've all grown up with the God of our imagination, haven't we? You know, depending on what you were taught and how you've been treated, you view God in a certain way. Now, I am so thrilled that some of you got to skip some of the stuff I was taught. Sinner in the hands of an angry God, you know, and God forgave him for that, I'm sure, because he loves him. But Edwards, you know, the guy who preached that. So, but we've all grown up with something. Some of y'all may have had a mean daddy. Or maybe no daddy. You know, but if you had a mean daddy, you may think God's mean.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you had an absent daddy, you might think that God's absent. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be. But thank God, no matter what, each one of us right now can be introduced to the God of grace. He loves us now. I had a good daddy. He wasn't perfect. He was a good daddy. But this daddy is really something. And he's my daddy's daddy. But you know, Abba means daddy. That's his intimate term with you. Deb prays, Father dear. She calls God Father dear. And Pastor John did that. He called him Father dear. And sometimes when I pray, I call him Papa. Because he is a daddy that loves me. Now, I respect him. He's God Almighty. But sometimes I can just sense that closeness. And I pray that you'll sense it too, that this is a father that loves you. And you can cast all of your care on him. You can turn bad daddy over to him, and he'll take care of that. So I just want to get some things over to you. And here's one of the things I want to get over to you. Where there's no revelation of love, there's no operation of faith. Where there's no revelation of love, there's no operation of faith. And where there's no operation of faith, there's no participation in grace. Right? If you don't have any faith, you can't get to grace. You were saved how? By grace through faith. And it's because you found this out. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You started realizing that God loved you. And so you began to put your faith in that. But if you don't have any, if you don't understand the love, it's very hard to have any faith. Think about that with people. If you think someone doesn't love you, you don't have a lot of faith in what they'll do and what they won't do. But if you know somebody loves you, it's solid. You're like, I have faith in them. I know what they'll do. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. So, now, the verse said there, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So here we're putting it all together now. He gives grace to the humble. There's something in pride that God must resist. Pride resists God, and God resists pride. He doesn't go for it. Well, why? Why? He just doesn't like that behavior? He can't deal with it. There's no faith there. Because pride means you're doing it yourself. It's all about you. It's humanism, church. It's like what Israel did. Just have him tell us what to do. We can do it. We can do it. Could they do it? They couldn't do it. He had to be involved for it to get done. And so it's the same with us. Can we love people like we need to? Not without God. Can we do what we're doing without God? No. Not good anyway. You could take a shot at it, but it isn't going to be good. If I try to do this without God, I'm nothing but a hireling.
Yeah.
And I'm not. Amen. We have to have God. Amen?
Right.
And so he can't handle, doesn't deal with the pride. He just can't fellowship with it. He can't work with it or deal with it. He resists it. And the thing about pride, I want to say this too, it opposes God.
Mm-hmm.
And God opposes it. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what side of the mighty hand of God are we on? What side are we on? Are we going to humble ourselves under his strength? Are we going to do it ourselves? And to you, you're thinking, well, that's a no-brainer yet. Worry is a form of pride. Well, how could it be? Because I just care so much. That's why. No. That's you lying awake, trying to figure out how you're going to do it or how you can help somebody and straighten them out or whatever. Whatever it is in you. If you're laying there worried about it or afraid that baby will fall. That's pride. You think you can keep baby. Baby has some sort of something in them that knows they're going to get up and walk one day. And you're going to have to let them walk.
True. That's right.
I know people are helicopter mamas and stuff like that, but that's pride. That's covert rejection. You can't do it. You can't do it. I have to protect you. 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 God is the protector. Of course, certainly we appreciate men who protect us. Certainly the military men or our husbands or dads, we protect that. That's innate in them. That's a good thing. But it needs to not be where you go over and get yourself in pride and think you're the sole protector of your family.
That's right.
Yeah.
You need to be under the mighty hand of God, just like mom and them are under the mighty hand of God. And I'm not picking on the men. The women do the same thing. My child, my child, my child. Well, or whatever it is. My business, my ministry, my, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We need God.
Yeah.
And we need to rely on Him. Mm-hmm. In 2009, Deb was in a car wreck and it was bad. And Mac took me to the hospital, and they had already done stuff to Deb, and I remember she was healed, she did okay, and everybody prayed, and she made it. She has a new spleen.
Glory to God.
And but I remember the first time she left to go get in the car again, I was like, okay, Deb. You know, and I went, wait a minute, Deb belongs to God. She don't belong to me. Come on, church.
Yeah.
Deb belongs to God, and He'll keep her safe. What's my job? I plead the blood of Jesus as she's going out. I do it every time she goes out the driveway. I do it with y'all.
Amen.
Plead the blood of Jesus over them. Safe travels. I do it over you. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of you. But He's the one that will get it done.
Amen.
He'll protect your business. He'll protect the clients you have. He'll protect your finances. He'll do all of that for you if you will let Him. Okay, let's move forward on that. But you're going to get that feeling sometimes of, oh, my baby. Yeah. You go right to God. Go right to God. One day Katie's gonna not live at your house. You know, that's how you feel when your babies leave. But you know what? God is her God. And He's got a good husband picked out for her and a good college picked out for her. And we have to trust God. We have to trust God that, and Katie will be wise.
Yes, she will.
Amen. Amen. I don't know why I'm off on that, but praise the Lord. You get that. Try to use examples. Put anything in there you need to put in there. So what side are we on here? And then the next question is, when we are getting on this side, obviously it's humble yourself. So how do we humble ourselves? I told you, already told you, cast your care over on the Lord. That's the part. Place yourself under His resourceful strength. Don't stay out there by yourself. Okay, here's a good one. Let's go here. Can you change the United States of America by yourself? Then you're going to have to trust God.
That's right. That is right.
And He's on our side. So if casting your cares on Him is humility, then pride would be, God, I've got this.
Yeah.
This is something we have to practice. We have to practice at it. I've caught myself a few times going, I'm okay, I'll do this. And I think, now wait a minute. I'm going to practice placing myself under His resourceful strength just with little stuff. This is little stuff, and then I'm prepared because training works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Training works. So, you know, before you go get an aspirin, you could pray.
Yeah.
Instead of just going to get the aspirin, it's real easy to just go get an aspirin, right? Right? But you could pray that, you know, God the healer.
Yeah.
And bless the aspirin if you're going to take it.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the aspirin, but I don't know. Do people still take aspirin? I guess some people do. But it's what I thought of anyway. So But if you're saying, God, I've got this, and if you're trying to find out what pride is, if you're trying to see when you're not humble, it's if you would be worrying or you'd be taking care of it. Though that's how you know. It's not always the outward ugly stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. That so many times in the church, it's over the years, it's been, well, if you're smoking or drinking or cussing or doping or abusing or whatever, you know, that's all, that's the sins. But the sin is anything that puts you as God. And all those sins won't take you to hell if you just do one thing. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. So if you make him the Lord of your life every day, and you don't, and you place yourself under, what did it say? Resourceful strength. That means he's got some good ideas.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll try to push off from that now. Let's see if we can get going here. Who cares? That's the question. Who cares? Who cares about your bills? Jesus. Who cares about your health? Jesus does. So when you worry, you're in pride. And here's the key. You wouldn't worry if you knew your worth. If you knew how much you were worth, you would not worry.
Wow.
Do you realize that the price paid determines the value? Uh-huh. The price paid determines the value. So that means you're worth much because there was a heavy price paid for you. Amen? Now, do you remember Mark 4 when they were going over after the sower sows the seed and then they're going over and the storm comes, they're going. Jesus says, we're going to go over the other side. They get in the boat. They're in the boat. They're going over. A storm comes and Jesus is asleep on the pillow in the boat. And they woke him up. And what did they ask him? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? They had no revelation of love. They just didn't, so they said he didn't care. So they questioned his love and he asked them this. He says, how is it that you have no faith? Love, faith, faith, love. We just talked about it a few minutes ago. They questioned the love. He wanted to know where the faith was. Because where there's no revelation of love, there is no faith. If there's no faith, there's no grace. Matthew 6:27 says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Will worrying change the situation? Will it bring growth? Are we worried about church growth? Are we worried about business growth? Who by worrying can change one cubic to their stance, stature? Who can do that? Matthew 6:28 says, why take ye thought for raiment? That's clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Look at the lilies of the field. Do they toil? They grow by not toiling. There are a lot of ways to grow the church, but one of them is not toil. There's a lot of ways to grow your business, but it's not toil. It's work, but it's not toil. Well, I'm not going to toil, so I'll just sit on the couch today. No, that's not what that means. It means that you're worried. It means that you're fretting. It means you're sorrowful about it. This is too hard. This is too hard. There's toil involved. But it's not going to grow your business. What will grow your business is if you get up and go out there and do it. It's not going to grow. It's not going to grow if you're sitting in your living room. We all know that. We know that's not what this means. But you got to get an idea from God. You got to see how he wants you to work it. You got to see how to put things in place. First thing to do is to pray about it. How am I going to do this business, Lord? And how do I move into this? Everything is going to happen by divine appointments, by who you meet.
Yes, ma'am.
It's going to be about who you meet. So if you stay at home, you're not going to meet anybody. So obviously we know that that's not it. Toiling is just simply worrying. Y'all still love me?
Yes, we do.
Good, because this is helping me. Listen to this. Here's Jesus again. Now, when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets from it for a drought. Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night. They fished all night in toil. And they had taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He should have let down the nets, but he let down the net. They toiled all night. So when the one who could really do something about it was put in charge, they got results. Did you hear me? When the one who can really do something about it is put in charge, it'll change. Something else went to work that day. Wasn't just them. Wasn't just them laboring and trying to do it. And, well, we did it this way for the last 20 years and this works. And maybe there was something new that day. There wasn't. It was Jesus, and he got in the boat. And he said, if you'll sow this boat right here for a few minutes and let me preach off of it, you're going to bring in enough money to, for a long time. I declare everything we do preaches the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So who caught the fish that day? It's not a trick question. They took them home with them. But with Jesus, when Jesus told them what to do, and they did it, they didn't have to toil. They just went, oh, okay. And there it was. And that boat was sinking. That's some fish.
Yeah.
Amen. God, y'all know who Charles Capps is?
Yeah.
God taught Charles Capps how to fish. Right? Y'all know where I'm going? Mm-hmm. Talk to him.
Yeah.
And you remember him at Happy Call where we were in the boat? And Happy Caldwell threw his lure out there, and a fish jumped up and grabbed that lure and broke it off, and Happy said, oh no, it's my favorite lure. And Charles Capps says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to bring that lure back. And that fish jumped up over the boat and dropped that lure in the boat.
Yep.
The only bad thing about it is Happy Caldwell said, I don't believe it. That's a pretty good charge over creation right there. Now that's someone who knew that commanding words worked.
True.
Well, to know that too.
Yes.
Then we wouldn't toil so hard, because it's all about what you say anyway.
Yeah.
I'm preaching about five different sermons here. I need to move on. So, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So Jesus died to give us a free gift of righteousness, and this grace that takes care of us. You're right with God.
Yeah.
He finds no fault in you. And he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
So get it out of your mind. Yeah, I hadn't been very good. I hadn't known what I was supposed to do. So he probably isn't going to help me. He is if you stay in faith and believe his love. I don't care how far out there or how far off you got. If you believe his love, He'll come all the way and get you. You know how I know that? Because the scripture says that we are learning, we're trying to understand the height, the depth, the width, the length of this love of God. He'll go really, really far to get you. Really far to get you. He'll come after you. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. He loves us. Praise the Lord. And you know, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever watched someone do something and you knew you could do it better? And you're watching them and you're going, oh. And you're wanting to go, you knew you could do it better. You know, it might be a kid using a tool or, you know, the take it out, put it in tool thing. You know, but you do that really good. I'm not saying you don't. It's called a drill. She calls it the take it out, put it in thing. Love it. We have Danny-isms. She's got it all figured out. We love it, love it. But you've done that. You've watched someone and you're like, just let me take it. You know, well, that's exactly how Jesus feels. Get out of the way. Get in the flow. Place yourself under the resourceful strength of God. Let him do it, and you're going to come out on top. He can guide your hand. He can guide your mind. He can guide your car. He can help you with what... He can change the hearts of people that are lined up in front of you.
Yep. It's true.
I've done that. I went from client to client to client to client way back a long time ago. And someone went right in front of us to every single one of the places we went. And we got all eight of them. There was eight of them at the time. We got all eight of them. Why? Because he went before us. Because he has resourceful strength. Not just how we would say it and sway it and do it and package it. He has resourceful strength. He's far more capable of blessing us and providing for us and delivering us and healing us than we give him credit for. He can do it. But you know, pride says, I got this. And church, I don't think there's anyone listening to me right now that you really just do it on purpose. It's sneaky.
Yeah.
I did it today. I was doing something. I went, well, I'm just going to do it. And then I went, wait a minute. I need to go to God about this first. He'll give me what I need. Amen. I might be harping a little here, but I think we need it. Grace is a professional caretaker. He cares for you. Grace works when you rest. Rest is doing only what the Father says. There's the best explanation. See, it's doing. You're doing something. You're not doing nothing. You're doing something, but you're doing it in the rest. Physically, we think rest is when you just lay down and that's it. Lay on the couch and eat some ice cream or something. But as far as God's concerned, it's when you're at peace. It's when you're handed all over to him. You're resting it. You're saying, you've got this. I'll just follow you right through here. Preachers, that's how you preach. You cannot say, I've got this. It's going to turn out bad.
Yeah.
Teachers, it's the same thing. If you're going to teach something, the way for it to come out good is for you to get your mind off yourself. Will I look good? Will I be embarrassed? Does it sound right? I'm nervous because the people are looking at me. I always tell all the people that I'm helping learn to preach, you better get your mind off yourself and think about what's in your heart that God is telling you that the people need to get. And you focus on that and everybody will get something. Even if it's not perfectly polished and you gunk up a little bit, it'll be all right. Everybody will go home with something if you just don't stand there in you.
Well, that's good.
Well, that would work when you're making a deal, would it? Would it?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 64:4 says, no one has ever heard, No one has paid attention, and no one has seen any God except you. You help those who wait on you. And you know, I don't know, maybe today you're just saying, Pastor, I really want to be in the rest, and I really want to cast my care on him. I really want to trust him, but I'm just afraid if I don't do this, it just will not get done. Martha. It'll get done. It'll get done. It'll get done just the way God wants it to get done. And it'll probably take a whole lot less time if he does it. He is not going to mess you up. He's a good God. The Bible says all good and perfect gifts come from the Father who has no shadow of turning. He can't go bad on you. He doesn't have a bad side. It doesn't matter which side they take the picture on. He's good. He's good. He's always good. He's always good. Yes, but doesn't he use the devil to teach us? Never. The devil is self-employed. God never uses him. Now, if you're going through something, God will use the going through to help you get to him.
Right.
But he didn't cause it.
True.
He'll help you come, and he doesn't want you to stay there. Let's let you suffer for a little while. How many of y'all if there's a fire burning, would hold your baby's hand in the fire so they could see that it burns? Not one of us. Well, God's better than we are. Amen. That was another sermon, man. This is clocking out here, I tell you. Okay, so let me say this one more thing about this, and we'll close. You know, if I don't worry, if I don't figure it, if I don't work on it, will it get done? What will happen? Well, here's what you need to understand. You do have a job to do. You do have a part to play. It's just sometimes we play the wrong part. See, what we need to do is seek understanding of how much God loves us. That's our job. Our job is to build our faith. Our job is to be in the Word. Our job is to quote the Word. Our job is to become intimate with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with the Son. Our job is to know Him, to know the love. That's our job. He will do the rest. I promise you, He'll do the rest if you'll start there. He'll say, get up and go talk to so-and-so. Something's going to happen there. He'll say, you can get a job over here. He'll say, do this, do that. Sometimes I think we just swim around in the mire. I can remember being at a job and I'm like, why am I doing this? I hate this job. I just hate it. It was barely any money and we had, basically given up our business by then, and it was just not good. And so one day I just said, I'm quitting. And I said, so Lord, I have to have a job, you know. And so I turned in my resignation to my boss. And I left, and about 48 hours later, I had a job over where my sister-in-law worked. Yep. And it was worth a whole lot more money. Yeah. And it turned into a God deal because we got to minister to about 100 people working with us. And it got us out of debt. But I could have just stayed home and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope I can get some food stamps or something because I don't know. I just don't know. And I might have to go back over there and work at that daycare. And we were already in the ministry. We were already, you'd already moved away from us. God just did it. And it just went on and on and on and on and on, which brought us to here. Yeah. Isn't that cool how God did that? It was all about divine appointments. How did we get here? A divine appointment. Yeah. Someone came all the way to Lockhart, Texas to a women's, what do they call them? Women's Aglow meeting to hear me preach and invited me to come up here. And then Gladys and Eldred invited me to go to their house. Ron and Pauline showed up at the house. Then we did this. Then Billy Gay came until it came to y'all coming and everybody came. And so they were all divine appointments. We didn't do it. God did it. God did it. God's got a divine appointment for you right now. Right now. It could be watching a preacher. It could be the next person who comes across your path where you're working, or it might be when you're at the Tractor Supply or something. I like that store. It could be. How many times has God said, turn in right there, go in there? And you go in there and boom, there it is. Try that place. Yeah. That's happened. Try that place. Praise the Lord. So what we have to do is we get understanding how much he loves us. We begin to trust him. We listen to his voice. We hear his voice. We pay attention to what he's telling us. Words are containers that build the future. Today, I will meet someone that God can use to help change my future. I just prophesied over you. I declare that's all of our within the next 24 hours. And I will be a person who helps change someone else's future. It works both ways. Divine connections, divine connect. Well, who did that? Well, I laid him worried until I, no. It's because God sent you. God moved you there. Sometimes you don't know. Yeah, thank you. What about 9/11? What about when they were in that building? The Lord told Kenneth that he spoke to every person that morning. There was one child that said, Dad, I want a sandwich. I don't want to take my lunch from home. I want to go to Subway and get a sandwich. So while Dad took her to Subway and was late for work, the buildings crashed. So it might be, ooh, I feel like a Chick-fil-A today. That might even be God. But on the other hand, there was a man there that was going to make like a, was it an $8 million deal? He was supposed to show up that day. He's somebody y'all would know. He woke up that morning and said, I'm not going to the closing. We're supposed to have a closing in there. And of course, all the lawyers and everybody just, you have to go. He's calling. I'm not going over there. Why? I don't know. He didn't even have to know. He just followed the unction. See, you don't even have to know. Come on. You just have to follow the unction. Just follow the unction. Just be led by the unction. Just let him point at it and say, do that right there and this is going to turn the corner for you. Give that right there and this will turn. Say this to that person and it'll turn the corner for you. Step out of the way and let that go on by. Should we buy that car? No, run. Then run. Whatever it is, those little connections right there, that's how this grace is working. That's how this grace is working. Be keen to his guidance. I would say to you, and I've said this to you for 20 years, those of you who've been here that long, Ron, you do not need to pray, Lord, will you please lead me? He is leading you. Holy Spirit is talking all day long through the night. You should say, Lord, I declare I'm keen to your guidance. And I say that over myself right now. I declare I'm keen to his guidance. Say that. I'm keen to your guidance. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. I'll finish up with this due time right there. If you look it up, it means season. Due time means season there. Now, so you got to get this. He will exalt you over the problem, over the situation in the same season you humble yourself. So if you humble yourself tonight concerning whatever it is that's going on with you, in this same season, he will exalt you.
Amen.
Now that's the word of the Lord. And I didn't exaggerate it. You can go look all this up. That's exactly what it says. He will exalt you above the situation if you'll humble yourself under his resourceful strength. If you'll put the pride away, pride meaning you doing it. Glory to God. You're going to have it in the same season. Right now, think about it. What is it? Give it to him right now. Cast your care over on him right now and say, you do that. Time in on getting your house finished. Let's just cast our care over on that. I have had a week's worth of, we have a goal. We have goals that we set for the first of the year. I think one of them has been completed. A lot of them have been done 3/4 of the way or something, but they're, and it just started bothering me as if I could do something about it. And so we just put our stake in the ground. God is doing it. And so we had a meeting yesterday. It will get done. It's going to get done. We're going to do what we know to do to get it done, but we're going to rely on God. God can get it done. So there's no need me wringing my hands because I'm a goal setter. I like to mark things off my list. We did that. We did that. We did that. And it just bothers me when something's halfway done. I want it done. I want to be able to mark that off. Well, I'll just have to get over that. It's going to get done.
Yep.
Does that speak to anybody else here? Praise the Lord. Now, Steph, John, Danny, Amanda's not in here, Deb. If you immediately thought, oh no, humble yourself under the resourceful strength of God. Right? It's God does it. If you immediately, oh, she's disappointed because we hadn't finished. No, I'm not. God, it's God. I need to get myself right. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. I need to quit thinking that I can make it happen by toiling about it.
Yeah.
We're going to mark that list off. That's where I need to put my faith. Because the one who can get it done is now in the boat. Amen. Who cares about your situation? He loves you right now in your life, right where you are, and he's taking care of you. And he's the only one who can bring lasting change. So humble yourself, cast your care over on him. Who cares about you anyway? Jesus. Jesus does. I heard Miss Billy say today, she was helping us get over ourselves. And she was singing a song. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms. And then she sang the whole song and I was like, oh, but she's right. That's, we get all pitiful. Why should we be downcast? The God of the universe is on the inside of us, Jesse. The God of the universe is in here. He's right in here, Shadrach, right on the inside of us, Josh. He's right in here. He's right in his snarky pastor, Bobby, right here. Right here. Why should we be cast down? We have everything because we have him. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you. I humble myself under your resourceful strength, under your mighty hand. And I thank you that everybody here will do the same. Why should we take a care when the God of the universe is our Father and Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us and Jesus is our brother and our friend who's already paid for our future? And so, Father, today I pray over the futures in this room. I pray over the divine appointments in this room. I pray over the peace that we're all going to rest in tonight. I pray over the peace of our bodies. I pray over Hector's body right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare stop chaos in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that he is healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Anyone else suffering in this room, we declare you're healed in the name of Jesus. Anyone suffering, listening to me online, whenever you listen to this, there's an anointing on it. Cast your care over on the Lord. He cares for you. He is your healer. In Jesus' name, by his stripes, we were healed. So we receive what we already have in Jesus' name. Amen.